All right, if you didn't get a course outline for step one off the back table, then there will be young men who jump up and get them for you. Just raise your hand if you don't have one. Good. We're well accomplished. As you can see, this is step one. It can be quicker than 12 hours, although 12 hours is what I had originally planned. It's going to be very heavy on the front end. It's foundation building. I don't know. I know that several of you understand how vital, I think, getting Genesis 1, 2, and 3 correct is, because it's foundation building. If we have to sprint at the end, then we will be able to sprint knowing that the Lord in His good providence has allowed us to tackle other things, tackle the things at the end in other places. Acts 6, we would not ordinarily have been able to have 4 hours of instruction in Acts 6 in a course like this. But we recently have had 4 hours of instruction in Acts chapter 6. 1 Timothy as a whole, we would not be able to have 12 hours of instruction in a course like this, just in 1 Timothy. As you can see, the whole course was supposed to be 12 hours. But in God's providence, in the second serial reading, in the morning services, we've just come into 1 Timothy. It's probably going to be it's probably going to be about 12 hours total instruction. I don't know how many of you even know this, but we record the main teaching time from our family worship times in the Hopeful at Home. We put them on the website so that I guess it's useful to others, we found out as well. But the idea was that I would try to stay ahead. That didn't work wonderfully this week. I'd try to stay ahead so that husbands and dads who are leading their families, if they have a commute or if they have some dead time that they can listen to something, they can listen to me teach my family. You all know your own family better. Don't reproduce exactly what I did with my family. But having an example will help you, is that hope. Now, the other thing that will do for us as we go through 1 Timothy is, probably by the time we get to the 1 Timothy material in the course, we'll have roughly 12 hours online of the teaching time through the book of 1 Timothy by way of the Hopewells at Home. That was just God's good providence to us. Foundation building is important. I had a class in seminary called Genesis to Joshua. We were a little cheeky. We referred to it as Genesis to Exodus 20. It was supposed to be a 13-week class. It was 10 weeks in Genesis, 2 weeks in Exodus 1 through 20, and 1 week in Exodus 21 through the end of Joshua. But foundation building is important, and hopefully, by the time we're done with the, by the time we get to, it's all important. Anyway, try to look at the outline, but the way of handling Scripture and what is supposed to be accomplished in the diaconal ministry of the church, I hope is going to come through in terms of the great realities that are in place and that are at stake. I'm going to try and be stopping by 22 every week. That's the goal. From 10 after till 22, from 10:10 to 10:40, because we're doing more than just getting the biblical theology of the diaconate in this class. Because this is in the Sabbath school, we're preparing for worship, which means, children, we're going to be talking a lot about God, and we're going to be talking a lot about who He is, and we're going to be talking about who He made you to be and who He redeems you to be. One of the things that we don't want to do is have teaching that you just tune out of or do other things and then come with a cold heart. You hadn't had your mind warmed up, you hadn't had your heart warmed up, and then we're just going to hit the gas and try to worship God together. I don't know, I can't remember as a child if it was easier or harder for me. It feels hard for me as an adult. But y'all are Jesus's little ones. He gets very angry with His disciples if they get in the way of your coming to Him. So one of the things that we're going to aim to do in these times is prepare our minds and warm our hearts for the worship of God that begins in the next hour. Well, the first thing that we learn in this course is that God is a diaconal God. He created a world. Yes, He created in order to redeem us. That's the reason there is anything. Did you know, kids, that the reason that there are mountains and hills and oceans, that there is morning and evening and life and beauty and design and all of these things, the ultimate reason for all those things is because God decided to make for Himself children whom He would adopt in the Lord Jesus Christ. God didn't need anything. He doesn't need you. I hope you know that. God doesn't need you, and He doesn't need me. I grew up in church being told that God needed me, and that He needs me to go be a missionary, and He needs me to go serve downtown Detroit. I grew up in a suburb of Detroit, and He needs me to be His hands and His feet. God doesn't have hands and feet, and He doesn't need them. God wills molecules to do whatever He wants. God doesn't need us, didn't need us. He decided to want us. And He decided to want us as His adopted children, not just created in His image, but that He would be glorified by entering the creation and redeeming us so that we would be joined to the Son, that the everlasting Son of God would be joined to creatures. And the adoption that we come into by faith in Jesus is infinitely better than that form of adoption that Adam had lost in the Garden of Eden. Because adoption in Jesus was the plan A. And the adoption of Adam, as you know, you read the genealogy of Adam, the genealogy of Jesus, and the Son of Adam, the Son of God, that creation of Adam in His own image was a means to an end of adopting you through faith in Jesus Christ and conforming you to the image of Christ so that we could come into the fellowship that the Father and the Son and the Spirit have had forever. We don't have time. I'll maybe send you a link to a glorious sermon on that from John 17. But Jesus, the night that He was betrayed, He was getting ready to go to the cross the next day. He prays for His disciples, and He prays for all those who will believe through His disciples. And He's referencing the glory that He had with the Father before the world began, and how the Father loved Him before the world began. And the whole prayer is moving towards climax of our coming into that fellowship with Christ and with the Father and with one another. That's the reason for everything. From before the world began, that's why the world began. But he didn't just make us. He made a world. And he made the world for us to receive as good and for us to imitate him in operating in a good way that images him. So, I guess introducing that is all the time we're actually going to have. You never anticipate that not everybody knows why the class and where it's going and where the ARP is. I want all of you to consider yourselves deacon with a little d, not in the office per se, but because God is redeeming you to be like him, and he made this world for you to do that in, and you're actually preparing to do that in another world, because he doesn't just make a new heavens. He makes a new heavens and a new earth, and we're going to be doing this forever. Yes, there's a priority of the purpose of worship and the ministry of prayer and the word and the forming and conforming of new creatures. There's that priority. But one of the ways that it will be worked out forever is how we serve God in material things. And so the office of the deacon in leading us in that is a dignified and vital office. It's not just the board of managers who sign checks and decide what kind of paper towel to get. They are leaders and helpers unto the church for bearing the renewed image of God in Jesus Christ as the new creation has invaded the old one in the form of those whom Christ redeems. I hope that you can hear at least that I am excited for what we have before us, and I hope that the Lord gives you some of that excitement, that desire, that aspect of his great plan for all things would be carried out faithfully and fruitfully in the part of it that belongs to the diaconal ministry of the church. Let's pray. Father, thank you that you are, to hopefully not use it in an irreverent way, Father, that you are the diaconal God, that you created a world for us, and a world for us to imitate you in, to image you in. And so we pray that you would be helping us in these studies. Thank you for reminding us, even in this first one, in the introduction of the outline, and the purpose of the class, that you have made us for fellowship with you. And we pray as we come now to the public worship, that you would do both. Give us fellowship with you by your Spirit, and use your word through which you have given us to have that fellowship, and through which you have given us to be conformed to Christ, and through which you have given us to be brought to faith in Christ in the first place. Use your word to glorify yourself, to give us fellowship, and to make us like Christ, your children in a fallen world. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.